Welcome. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Heard on the streets, Spencer Jacob joins Watching Your Wealth's Veronica Dagger for an inside look on how Wall Street really invests and the common habits among ineffective investors. Coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
This is Veronica Dagger, and you're listening to Watching Your Wealth, where you learn all you need to know about building your wealth and protecting your money. Spencer Jacob is deputy editor of Heard on the Street at the Wall Street Journal. He's also the author of the new book called Heads I Win, Tails I Win. It's great to have you on the podcast, Spencer.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I love the title of the book. Tell us briefly, how did you get the idea for the book?
Well, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I was an analyst for many years. I've been a financial journalist for 14 years since then. And in this job, and you probably experience the same thing, you're asked all the time, what do you think? What do you think I should buy? How does the market look? People at neighborhood barbecues and picnics. And, you know, the advice, I mean, certainly in the last several years, since I've become a bit wiser about the market, is I have no idea what the market is going to do. I can't really tell you if you should buy Apple, if oil is going up or down. And no one on TV knows that either. But here's some good advice. And I think some people do take the advice, but a lot of people, I think their eyes glaze over. And they just don't have the proper mindset, or the 2 or 3 minute speech that I give them really isn't proper. And I've seen lots of people do very, very poorly. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that most investors do poorly, and many don't realize how poorly they're doing. You know, they keep putting money into a 401k and an IRA, and it, you know, it seems like it's going up, but a lot of it is just their contributions. Their returns are actually abysmal. And so I wrote it for those people. It's really the kind of the speech that I'd like to give if they had some time to sit down.
It's so nice to hear a financial expert say, I don't know, because I think there's a lot of people saying, I do know, and they don't know. So let's go right to some of these seven habits of ineffective investors. Not sure if we'll get to all of them.
Okay.
But the first one you said is there's this temptation for people to get in on the new hot deal. So tell us why that's a mistake.
Well, I'll combine two of them just to get there a little bit more quickly.
Sure.
But, you know, one is to get in on that hot new deal, and the other is to buy what's fashionable.
Mm.
And there's nothing more fashionable than a hot new deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, people tend to, you know, there are thousands of stocks, many, many hundreds of exchange-traded funds that slice the market into any way you want. Yet you've got to buy Zynga, or you've got to buy whatever is just coming onto the market now, because surely that's going to be the next Microsoft or the next Apple or the next whatever. And, you know, mathematically, it's very impossible for something that's very hyped to become the next Microsoft and go up 10,000 times in value, because it would be the largest company on earth, probably. But also, you can show that the hit rate on these things, you know, if you buy them straight out of the gate, is actually very poor. You're actually, you know, some will do well, but most will not do well. On average, they'll vastly underperform the market. And the same thing with things that are fashionable and also high-priced. Something, a company that's very popular, a company that's very loved, that's very well known, that many people own, that many people are talking about on TV, will tend to underperform. And I look through that in many different ways in the book and slice and dice it, but it generally is true, and it's a meaningful difference.
That is important. And I think what you bring out is important, because I think the average investor like me often finds out about these hot ideas a little too late. You're not on the inside. So by the time you find out, even if you had a small chance of making that money, it's gone. So I think that's something for people to think about. Another lesson you have in this book is, or the ineffective habit, is combining your money with your morals. And I'm really interested about this one, because we hear so much about socially conscious investing, investing for impact, all these sort of things. And so I want to hear your take on why this could be ineffective.
Well, it's not very effective. And there are studies that show for some selected period that socially conscious funds have done okay. But generally, those are not two things that you should combine. I'm not saying to be immoral or to do immoral
right.
things with
I'm
your money.
I'm glad we're a very moral podcast.
I hope everyone gives money to charity and does whatever.
That's right.
But, you know, if you go out and you buy a cigarette manufacturer, or if you buy a company, you know, perhaps you disapprove of contraception or whatever, something that's religiously or personally objectionable to you, you are not giving money to the people who do that. You are buying those shares from someone else in the market.
Excellent point.
And since those things are shunned, they tend to do a little bit better than the rest of the market. Hence, if you're paying someone a fee to go through and select things that are morally not objectionable to you, you're paying a fee for something that's likely to do a bit worse than the market, and avoiding things that that might do quite well because they historically have done quite well, and many are in recession-proof businesses.
Mm-hmm, indeed. So another mistake is beware the reach for yield, and this is a tough one because a lot of our listeners may have had excess positions in cash, have been sitting on the sidelines because of the volatility. They desperately want yield, but we need to be careful in the way we go about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's very topical today. And you see, unfortunately, a lot more of this today. So one reason historically that, and I can tell you a lot of personal anecdotes of people I know who have, hey, Spencer, I invested in this thing, it's a mortgage REIT in 2007, or I invested in this thing called a royalty trust or a master limited partnership in 2013. And some of those people lost 80%, in some cases 100% of their capital. So you're talking about conservative investors who thought that they were getting something for nothing. And today, as you said, it's very, very hard because there is so little yield to be had. And so you're taking a risk. You have to in order to get any income, you have to go out on the risk curve. And unfortunately, that's likely to backfire in many cases. You have to understand that there is no reward without risk, and things are packaged in a way to be appealing to people who want income, but you have to look at where that income is coming from, what the mechanics are, what can go wrong, and they're often missold to people, unfortunately.
Indeed. This has been so much fun having you on the podcast. Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you.
This has been Watching Your Wealth, a production of The Wall Street Journal. I'm Veronica Dagger. For more information, check us out at wsj.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.